Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is the iOS Show, episode 311, recorded on October 23rd, 2016. Enjoy! Alright, it's time for the iOS Show, where we cover all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me, as usual, is Jeff Gamet from the Mac Observer and Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing alright.
Pretty awesome.
Sweet. And I didn't even check to see if GarageBand was recording you guys, and it turns out I am. So, good for us.
Man,
we are on a roll.
We are professionals. We've done this before. all right, so first thing, Apple has sent out invites to media for another event, October 27th, and it's going to be all about Mac stuff.
Yep.
Which is, I guess, a thing we don't necessarily talk about on this show.
I was wondering, like, how'd this
make
it?
I'm going to say, oh my God, I'm so happy.
But you can, I mean, we can all express glee about this because it's cool. Although, for some reason...
I'll tie it all together.
Yeah.
I am so excited to finally be able to replace my MacBook Pro so I have a new laptop to go with my new iPhone 7.
Thank you.
How was that?
It was good.
You're depressing me.
Why?
I'm sorry.
Because I was forced to buy one ahead of schedule.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I mean, I'm not that bummed because I got a freaking killer deal, but I'm still... I'm going to be bummed when the new ones come out. It's like, oh. It's...
Yeah. I won't rub it in.
No, totally rub it in. It's fine. I really like this new, I like the new one that I got. And, you know, I follow my own rules, which is always get the machine that you need to get when you need to get it. And that's what happened to me. It was like, I needed a machine right then. And I got the best machine that I possibly could. I mean, it's awesome, but it just means that I'm not going to get the cool, what do they call it? I always want to say touch bar, but I don't think it's touch bar.
Magic toolbar.
Toolbar.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm not going to get the cool magic toolbar goodness and probably for 5 years because that's about how long I go between upgrading laptops if I can.
Yeah. And for me, it's going to be nice because I don't have the right version of Bluetooth for unlocking my laptop with my Apple Watch, and
I still haven't tried that. I still haven't experienced that because I haven't updated my laptop.
Yeah, Jeff can't.
Right. Yeah.
Oh my God, you're right. I can't even do it once I get the new computer.
You can't.
Wait, why?
Oh, I'm shaking my fist at you, Apple.
Why?
Because he can't enable two-factor authentication because of a weird bug on some Mac accounts. We talked about this.
You need two-factor authentication for that?
Yep.
What?
You have to be running two-factor and not two-step verification, two-factor authentication.
Okay, so this is a perfect transition to what we normally talk about because so I finally enabled two-factor on my account. I had to wait the 2 weeks and...
You had to wait the two weeks.
They made me wait 2 weeks.
Ooh. Why? Were you on like double secret probation or something?
I have no idea. I went to my Apple ID and I said, I would like to enable it, please. And they said, cool, we'll let you know in 2 weeks when you can do it.
Oh, maybe. Does that mean, do you think that's related to your thing, Jeff? And maybe it's fixed now?
Well, I'm going to go check right now and see if it's fixed for me. I hope it's fixed because this is a total pain in the butt for me. Okay, here's another reason why I need a new computer. I'm looking at a spinning beach ball while I wait for the iCloud preference pane to load.
That's a bummer.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I waited my 2 weeks that they made me wait for whatever reason. And then because I was trying to set up HomeKit.
It was the government background check.
Yes.
That they had to run.
And then they realize, oh, all of his stuff is everywhere. That doesn't matter. So I was trying to do HomeKit. I wanted to get it rocking on my Apple TV so I don't have to necessarily leave my iPad at home to do my HomeKit stuff. And so I set up all the stuff on my I set it all up on my Mac because I've got 1Password there. And, you know, it was an easier situation to deal with on my Mac. And then I was like, okay, so how do I get this thing going on my Apple TV? And it's like, well, it should start working.
Oh my God. I wish I had a dollar for every time something on Apple TV should just start working.
Yeah. So I went to the Apple TV and they were like, yeah, if you want to check to see if it's working, you can go into the settings and in the Apple ID, it'll show you that you have HomeKit on or off. So I went in there and there's no mention of HomeKit. And so I start rebooting things and just doing every sort of weird chicken dance I can. And
I think I know where this is going.
Well, so in the end, I think I solved it. I mean, it was like days of me waiting because I'm like, oh, maybe it takes time. I went into my iPhone and signed. I clicked on my Apple ID for my iCloud. And I thought it was related to me having an at me and an at iCloud.
Yeah, basically you kind of want to make sure everything is all
I tried
the same.
That. I tried setting it all to the same. That didn't help. But going into my phone.
Me?
I used both, and I used iCloud. Anyway, so I went into my phone. The solution was I tapped on my actual account to, you know, how when you want to see your details about your Apple, your iCloud account, it will ask for your password, right? So I typed that in, and then it spun around, and then it sent me some kind of, you know, weird error, and then I tried again, and then I was in and good. And then I was like, wait a minute. I did two-factor on everything except for my phone, which is like the nexus of my two-factor authentication. Maybe that will do it. And sure enough, I went to the Apple TV and suddenly it was there.
I love that the dialogues are just so... I can never figure out what they're freaking asking me for now because there's so many different codes to put in. And the one that I always screw up is there's times when it'll ask for... a code, and you know how when you set up two-factor, you set up like a PIN code or whatever. And I often get that dialogue confused with the one when it's really what it's asking me for is like the PIN code for my phone, and not the PIN code for iCloud or you know the number code for iCloud.
Oh, sure.
I'm confused on that all of the time, and I'm like never know which one they're asking me for. It's like. I wish they could like sort out their dialogues so that it makes sense or just not have two different freaking numbers because that's just confusing. I guess security wise it's better, but it's just like I'm constantly shaking my fist because like, is it asking for the code that it texted me? Is it asking for the code that's for my phone or is it asking for the code that it told me set up when I turned on two-factor for iCloud?
Huh. I haven't had issues with that. It seemed pretty straightforward, but yeah.
You know, I may be able to join in on your frustration, Adam, because I have, instead of having the dialogue that says that it's not available for me at this time, right. I have a dialogue that says set up two-factor authentication.
Some.
So we'll see. I'm not going to do it now because, hey, we have a show to do.
Cool.
I'll mess up all my logins after we're done with the show.
Perfect. Stephen, I can never remember.
Stephen Troughton Smith. Troughton, I think that's how you say it, right?
We'll go with that.
Troughton.
Our homeboy who always finds the cool stuff hidden away in the iOS simulator, he found another cool thing, and it is a single-handed keyboard built into iOS, and it's actually been there since iOS 8.
Yeah, why hasn't Apple enabled that for us?
Yeah, so the idea is it
would be so handy.
It kind of scoots all the characters to the right or the left, and then adds cut, copy, paste, and undo controls right there.
It feels like reachability. That's why I think
of course.
It's not enabled.
Yeah.
Yeah, because nobody uses that.
I use it all the time. Are you nuts?
Reachability?
Yes.
I use reachability all the time as well.
Yeah.
you two are the only people I've ever heard.
My wife mentioned she likes it too.
So if I don't know.
Maybe your wife's cool.
If people know about it, I think they use it. But for the most part, people just don't know that it's there.
Right. So this would be another one of those things.
Maybe you just have big hands, Adam.
Actually, part of it is that I use that Spigen style ring.
What?
The little I call it the bathtub stopper that I stick on the back of my phone. It's like a little ring. It was $8 on Amazon. It allows you to not have to grip your phone. You slide your finger through this little ring on the back, and then you can reach all the corners.
I thought you were going to say it allows you to.
And it turns your iPhone into the most awesome piece of interactive jewelry ever.
Yeah, and also
and plus it acts as a stand, so you can do that. And it comes with a little clip for your dash, and you can like hang it on your dash and use it in portrait or landscape. It's awesome. I love it. And people see it. I get asked, this is one accessory for my iPhone that I get asked about more than any other. And like when people see it, they're like, that's really cool. What is that?
And you say it's my Spigen style ring.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Okay.
Spigen or Spigen, whatever you want to call it. I always call them Spigen.
Sure.
You know who I'm talking about. The iPhone accessory maker.
Like Spudger. Because you definitely don't want to call it Spigen.
S-P-I-G-E-N. Spigen. Mm-hmm. Style ring.
Yeah. So that's in there. It's disabled. And I guess it's just a fun thing to think about how one day Apple might enable.
Or if you jailbreak, you can go in and do some hackery and get it to show up on your iPhone.
Yes.
Or if you just want to see it, I think the way he hacked it was through the
simulator.
The developer like simulator, yeah. So you could hack your simulator, I suppose.
Sure.
But we still don't have to worry about messing up your. He does some magic things with that simulator. This is pretty
cool. Yeah, he's kind of obsessive.
Apple has built in to the iPhone 7 a way to get around a home button not working. Right.
So that totally makes sense.
So because it's software, right? It's not an actual button anymore. If some kind of glitch out occurs, the phone is smart enough to present you with a virtual button on the screen. So what happens when you have some kind of issue that it detects, it says the home button may need service. In the meantime, you can use the on-screen home button below, and then there's a little dedicated home button.
Now, I have a question about this.
Yeah.
Because it looks like that little on-screen button to me looks like the same button, the assistive touch button that you can enable in accessibility.
Yeah.
Do we know, is it just enabling that, or is this like a separate bit of functionality?
It looks like its own distinct thing.
Because it's in the center of the screen, right? It's not off to the left or right, which is where you have to put the other one.
Yeah.
The assistive touch button.
The assistive touch button, yeah. Let me see here.
And for people who don't know, I covered this on my podcast this week because the assistive touch button is actually freaking pretty awesome for like even just you just want to access things like as shortcuts or macros. You can totally use that for that.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah, I mean, like you can actually like macro record like swipe gestures. So if you have like a real repetitive game or something like that,
you can
record, you know, anything on the screen that you would swipe or touch and just like tap one button from that assistive touch thing and like play it back.
Cool. I forgot about that.
But even just like accessing, like if you want to just like tap to access Control Center, rather than have to swipe up or tap to...
Well, it's a couple taps, but yeah.
Well, I mean, you have to tap the assistive touch button and then tap again.
Yes.
It's not necessarily more efficient.
Not necessarily. But
for some things, it could be substantially more efficient.
Well, how about for taking a screenshot? two taps to take a screenshot.
Yeah, which means you can do a screenshot one-handed.
So my tip for everybody with assistive touch is you can actually have a little shortcut to enable and disable it very easily. And I'm pretty sure it's in, I think it's in accessibility. Do you guys know where that list of shortcuts is? Yeah, here we go.
It's the accessibility shortcut.
At the very bottom, yeah. So you go settings, general, accessibility, and at the bottom, tap accessibility shortcut. And then you can, when you triple click your home button, you get a little list of, if you select more than one of these things, you can select just one and it will just enable it and disable it for you. But I have a few things just because fun. And so
just when the magnifier.
Yeah, I got Zoom. I've got Switch Control, which I don't know what that is. Assistive Touch.
Oh, that's where Switch Control is, where you can do if you had a wheelchair if you had a head switch thing. It's for like the head switch thing.
Oh, I don't.
But it also do virtual head switch stuff like head tracking, so you can like shake your head and have your iPhone do stuff.
What?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So.
So you were probably messing with that at one point because it's kind of freaky. Like it'll use the front-facing camera to like do minimal, like rudimentary head tracking stuff.
That's pretty cool.
I never got it to do stuff very well or usefully, but yeah, you can like do that.
Huh. Yeah, I guess I should play with that. So yeah, that's my tip.
Have you guys tried the magnifier?
I love the magnifier.
And iOS 10.
I'm really surprised how much I love the new magnifier.
I thought it was going to be just basic. I'm like, how is it this any different than just like turning on the camera and like zooming in and out?
But it's different. Wait. What are you talking about? What is this magnify? You mean you can magnify like objects in reality?
Yeah.
Yes. It's a setting that's, is it in accessibility?
Yeah.
And so you triple click your home button and then you get this magnifier view. And so you can use the rear camera as a magnifying lens.
Shut the front door. This is awesome.
And it's really nice. And you can zoom. There's a little slider for zooming in whatever it is that you're magnifying, and you can apply different filters. Like if you have like different types of color blindness, you can apply filters to the image so that it's easier for you to see. And the only thing you can't
invert
do
the image, put it into grayscale. You can tap to like freeze frame the thing. So if you're kind of shaky, you can like freeze it on a block of text or a label. You can what else can you do in there? Just a ton of stuff.
The only thing you can't do is capture a photo from there and send it to the camera roll.
What does the little lock button do?
That locks the image. Yeah.
No, it locks the focal point.
Ah.
Oh.
Okay.
And so the bigger button does the lock the image part, right?
Correct.
Okay. I don't have the app open right now.
So it's like a temporary photo.
I get you. Except it doesn't recapture a photo at all. That's the main difference.
This is some solid tips right now that we're doling out.
Yeah.
I love the inverted. Like I'm live inverting my reality right now. That's some really cool stuff. That is awesome. I like this.
Well, yes, the magnifier is really handy.
And get this. So I don't necessarily need this. The other thing that's in accessibility now that's new in iOS 10 that's kind of awesome, when I realized what you could do with it, is in it's the colorblindness stuff. It's the display accommodations.
Yeah, that's really cool. I'm not colorblind, but I love that I can go in and mess around with that and have a better idea of what other people are experiencing that don't see color the way I do.
Not only that, though, one of the options when you enable the color filters is called color tint. So you can just retint your screen. So if you're the type of person that like, the iPhone's just too blue for me, it's like permanent It's like permanent night shift.
Seriously? I did not play with that.
Yeah, it's like a permanent night shift. So you can change how intense the color adjustment is and change the hue of the color adjustment. So it's like, if you're like, I want a warmer screen all the time, just turn that on and set it to whatever warmth you like personally, and it will just stay there till you turn it off.
That is just amazing.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah. But the colorblind thing is cool too, because if you are colorblind, and I guess like 10% of the world is, it shifts all the colors everywhere on your phone away from colors that you can't see and moves them into the colors that you can see.
Dude. It's stuff like this that makes me like feel like Apple isn't in shambles as I feel like most days. It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was the workaround for the home button. So that's cool. Apple released iOS 10.03 for iPhone 7s, really, just the 7. There was a cellular connectivity bug. I think that was primarily on Verizon. Is that correct?
I was having issues on AT&T too, and I don't have a definitive proof yet. But in general, it seems like I'm getting better connectivity. Like, I was having this scenario, and I think we talked about it on the show, where I was dropping out of LTE in places where I would have LTE in the past.
Okay.
And my immediate concern was, oh, it's the actual modem, because I have the AT&T phone. I'm like, and it has the new Intel modem. I'm like, oh, this Intel modem's shit.
yeah.
But it turns out it's actually not, because there was another story this week. I don't remember if it's in the notes, where there's some evidence that the Intel modem with LTE data in certain scenarios is like way better than the Qualcomm one. But this other thing with 10.0.3, I think it fixed cellular connectivity issues for a number of people. What was happening was people were seeing that it was dropping cellular connectivity in certain locations. And I think it was worse on Sprint and Verizon phones. But I had AT&T people like myself who were saying, yeah, I'm noticing some problems as well. And early evidence, as near as I can tell from my stuff, is that I'm not seeing the problem as much as I was. It still seems like I have fewer bars, but that may just be a readout sort of adjustment thing. And it turns out it might not matter with the new Intel modem, because that other testing that the group did, what they found was that both modems with LTE data got throughput speeds when the signals were good. But when you were on weaker signals, the Intel modem seems to maintain the data throughput better, if that makes sense. Yeah, so it'll stay at the high throughput levels even if you're on a weak signal, whereas the Qualcomm modem seems to degrade your throughput.
I thought it was the other way around. But I read the article when I was going to bed, so I was...
No, yeah. New Intel modem was a little bit better.
All right. Well, I have an AT&T phone, which means I have an Intel modem score.
Well, it's not a huge difference. And plus, I mean, if you have an AT&T phone, the disadvantage of the Intel modem, and it's a pretty big one, is that it can't connect to CDMA networks. So if you travel and need to swap SIMs, you're kind of hosed.
Yep.
Or you don't have, not host, you don't have as much
versatility. You don't have as many options.
Yeah, you don't have as much versatility in what carriers you can go with.
Yeah. And for what it's worth, I just looked over on my desk to where I have my Lightning earpods, and it reminded me that I don't have a headphone jack. And the fact that I forgot is pretty cool. Right? Yeah. I haven't had to deal with that.
That says a lot.
It came up for me, but I can't say why, because it's related to my pick for this week.
Okay.
And well, I guess I maybe just gave it away, but it did come up for me this week, and I was actually worried for a second, but it turned out to be, again, a non-issue. So
Yeah, it was pretty good for me. I only had that one moment when I was in someone else's car. But I don't like doing that, so it's all good.
Somebody should... I just thought of an idea for a great product.
Okay, well, don't tell everybody.
What about a lightning to 3.5 millimeter adapter that like doubles as like a ring that you can just wear, and then you just like unhook it, and then so you can always have it on you.
Wait, what about you just put it on your keys?
There you go, too.
Well, if it's on your keys, you need something so you can pop it off. Because if you're driving and you need the adapter, you don't want it stuck to your keys.
That's yeah, very
I think
true.
We'll see all of these things, right?
Yeah.
But I'm in a friend's car situation come up quite a bit with people, and I think that's going to be one of the common scenarios where you're like, oh, this sucks, I can't plug in.
That and if you're at someone's
party.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you want to plug into their stereo. That came up with one of my listeners as well. They were at a wedding, and because they didn't have a new iPhone, they were able to there was a song that they wanted to play for the bride and groom from when they were in college, and he was a college friend of them. And he's like, oh, I think I actually have it on my phone. And they were able to just plug right into the DJ's system because 3.5 millimeter. But had he not had that, it would have been much trickier.
A real DJ would just torrent the song right there.
Well, there you go.
Or you could, you know, assuming it's DRM free, you can also airdrop it or put it in a Dropbox, or, you know, there's other solutions.
Or if you're in a real bind, you just hold your iPhone up to a microphone.
Right.
That's the best way.
There's always the analog hole.
That's right.
I love the analog hole.
Yeah.
Let's not go any further with that.
If we did, we do show names, right? There you go. You've got a show name.
Yeah. Okay.
I love the analog hole.
Thank you. Apple seeded the fourth beta of iOS 10.1 to developers and public beta testers as far as content. Of course, it still has that bokeh effect for the 7 Plus. You get that depth of field thing. And bug fixes. And Apple doesn't really talk much about what sorts of bugs have been fixed. They do discuss security content of updates, but I was actually just looking. I guess my phone
in detail, or do they just say security updates? Because they've been doing that a lot lately too.
There's a pretty good amount of detail on security updates.
Cool.
Once things have been fixed, they're pretty clear about what has been fixed. But I thought it was interesting that the 10.03 update is 75 megs.
Wow. That doesn't sound like much of a Delta update to me.
75 megs, that's not very big.
That's not very
big.
Not
gigs.
Yeah, that's, I mean...
Oh, wait, I'm thinking gigs. I clearly need more caffeine today.
Well, then nothing would be that big. But,
no.
I mean...
See, clearly, I need caffeine.
I mean, we've seen updates that are like 1 gig before.
No, I was expecting if it just fixed some kind of cellular issue, I would expect... I don't know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Teens, yeah. Kind of thing.
Sure.
So there's other stuff going on. So that's nice. But yeah, so the 10.1, that's still rolling on. As far as details, we're not sure. But beyond that, Apple seems to be abandoning the plans for a car at this point. We talked about how Bob Mansfield took over that team. And I guess tried to retool it as more of a self-driving technology exploration thing and not so much a let's just outright make a car. Mm-hmm. but it seems so Apple has given its team, the automotive team, a late 2017 deadline to prove the feasibility of its self-driving car system. And decide on a final direction for it, according to Bloomberg.
Yeah. Okay. So all these news sites that are saying Apple is abandoning their car plans, I think that's misleading. Apple is refocusing what they're doing, and setting a deadline to decide if they're going to continue moving forward. That's not the same as abandoning.
True.
Yeah, when, they're significantly scaling back.
When Bob Mansfield says
back,
shut it down,
that's
then
abandoning.
They've abandoned it.
Yeah, very true. Thank you.
They're going from Project Titan to more like, you know, Project Half-Blood or something.
Nice.
What kind of reference is that? I just so I know.
It's a Greek mythology reference.
Oh, God. See, now I actually feel bad for not knowing. I thought it was some kind of, like, TV show.
No. You know, it's named Project Titan after the Titans, like, fathers of the gods.
Yeah, and I should really know more.
So, and then you have the gods, and so the reference was scaling it back to half-bloods, which are half-mortal, half-god.
All right, that like, was solid.
You know, sort of like Hercules.
I appreciate the the mythology lesson for the day, because as an engineer, I don't get very cultured, so...
This has been an episode all about learning, because we've been tossing around some really great accessibility tips. Now we're getting people up to speed on Greek mythology. I can't wait to see what comes next.
Yeah.
I'd recommend, Michael, I would have thought you would have fallen into this generation, but maybe not. Maybe it's slightly after your time, but you never read Percy Jackson?
Nope.
Yeah, you should. They're great series of books.
Not even heard about it. Percy Jackson.
Rick Riordan.
Okay.
There's some movies that are not great, but they only did two of them. And actually the second one's kind of a merging of a couple books, and they're not worth the books are great, the movies are not. Let's just say that.
Oh. Okay. This doesn't look like something that would interest me. But maybe. Thank you. And a thing that nobody's heard about because it's not been in the news or anything, Samsung has stopped selling the Note 7 permanently. Bye-bye.
The bigger thing on this is the impact that it's likely going to have on iPhone 7 sales.
Yeah. You know, everybody talks about the Google Pixel kind of picking up some
slack. It'll benefit too, yeah.
And I think it will, yeah, because if you're an Android person, you want to stay Android. And honestly, if I were an Android person, I would definitely prefer any Google phone. Because the phones that Google have put out in the past have been pretty darn solid, right?
Sure.
And you get all the updates as soon as they're out there. You don't have to wait. It's vanilla Android. All the good things about that.
I mean, you have to understand, though, too, that a lot of Samsung phone people are not necessarily quote-unquote Android people. There's a large percentage that are just, I want a premium brand phone, and I didn't want an Apple-branded one.
Because they have some kind of bias? Choose,
huh?
You think it's because they have some kind of bias against Apple?
Sometimes, but it could be other things. You just wear, I want a premium phone, and I'm choosing Samsung, and I like Samsung. I've had a Samsung phone before.
Yeah.
And so those are the people that are like, I am done with Samsung. I don't trust them anymore. I'm looking for another brand of premium phone, you know, that's at the same level in terms of construction, quality, and features. And so iPhone 7 Plus in this case is a choice for them, along with Pixel. I mean, Pixel's in that same category.
Yeah. So, well, I guess if that's your mindset, you're probably not. I wouldn't trust that Google's going to continue putting out Pixel phones regularly.
But you should never trust that any product Google makes is going to stick around long term.
Yeah.
Because they have a track record.
Yeah. It's not a good track record, but it's a track record.
But, yeah, so, you know, at least they're consistent.
Yeah.
Apple's only dilemma now is, can they produce enough 7 Plus phones to meet the extra demand now from a new group of consumers who's looking at that as an option?
Well, I think it came at a good time. It didn't happen
right
2 months ago or whatever, right when the 7 right. was coming out. So,
but I think I read this week that the jet black iPhone 7 Plus is still like back ordered to December now.
Well,
it was like getting better and now it's getting worse again. And my guess is that it's because of some of the Samsung people coming over. It sounds like other versions are readily available though. Like if you don't care about the jet black color in the 7 Plus, I think you can find other colors, but just interesting. And I think Ming-Chi Kuo thinks that Apple could gain as many as sell as many as 5 to 7 million more iPhones because of the whole Samsung thing. It's just, again, as long as they can keep demand up, because these people are going to be finicky at this point. They want to replace their phone. And if Apple doesn't have a model for them, I don't think they're not brand loyal, obviously. So they'll just go, well, fine, I can't get the iPhone 7 Plus. I'm going to go, I'll grab a Pixel or some other brand. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're going to go, I'm going to wait 2 months to get an iPhone. They're just not in that mindset.
Right. So, I guess that's it. Is there anything else we need to talk about? No?
I guess we're not that good. I get it.
Okay, cool. Well, let's do picks then. So, Jeff, what's your pick?
All right, my pick, I figured out a way to make my pick work.
Okay.
For the show. My pick is Amazon's Echo Dot.
What the
I know.
You almost made me cuss, Jeff.
I know. And I am just as surprised as you are that I would pick the Amazon Echo anything as my pick of the week.
I'll only let you do it if you send me one to play with. That you have to send me one.
Oh. All right, I'll go steal one for you.
Okay, cool.
But okay,
they're selling them in six packs now.
Why?
It's like getting tacos.
Oh god.
They are. You can get it like a six pack or a 12 pack, and if you get the six pack, you get one free. And if you do the 12-pack, you get two of them for free.
Can I get extra cheese?
Yes. Yes, you can. Guacamole costs.
It even has a little carrier. I kid you not. You guys think I'm kidding, but I'm not.
No, I know you're not kidding.
And see, it's Alexa, right? So what's the phrase that you say?
The word, you just say Alexa. So like right now, I don't know if you could hear it. Alexa, what's the weather?
Yeah, we can't hear
Alexa,
it.
Alexa, what's the weather?
In Boulder, it's 64 degrees with clear skies and sun. Today, you can look for mostly sunny weather with a high of 69 degrees.
So there you go. She's giving me the weather. And I already have the Echo set up so that I can use my voice to turn on or off all my air conditioners at the same time, because, you know, I'm in an apartment, so it's all window air conditioners. And my Withings Home camera, ever since I went to iOS 10, the location services have been total crap for if this, then that. So a lot of times when I come into my geofence area, the camera will turn on instead of off, or it just won't ever turn off. So what I've always had to do since going to iOS 10 is open up the Withings app, turn off the camera, and now I can just walk in and say, Alexa, trigger the camera.
Sending that to it.
There we go. She's shutting off the camera, which is already off right now. And once I have a little bit more time, because I've only had this since Friday, once I have a little more time, I'll be able to take all of the in-house things that I have Siri do and move them over to Alexa. So all of the lights, light controls and stuff that I'm doing, I can do that through Alexa. And it will actually be a little more convenient for me to do it that way.
Now, I've been getting a lot of people who are Mac people or iOS people who are like, really liking Alexa, so you're in a group, I think, that it's not that unusual. my question is, though, so she can do home automation stuff. She can do general like web searching stuff and answering questions and I'm assuming doing conversions and all that sort of stuff. And of course, order all kinds of crud off Amazon.
Including more Echo Dots.
Right.
What about, you don't have, because it's an Amazon product though, and you're living in a Mac iOS world, all the other integrations of like calendar and messages and, you know, contacts and all that stuff, it can't do any of that sort of stuff, right?
As far as I know, it cannot.
Okay. I mean, maybe if you're using Google services and you integrate
right,
that.
Yes. Yeah, I believe there are tie-ins for Google services. So right. I could have my calendar spoken to me if I took everything and moved it over to Google.
Okay.
So there are some big limitations because this doesn't tie my entire world together. But what it does is it gives me, once I get everything set up, a very convenient and very reliable way to voice command things in my place when I am here.
Right. And I guess you could maybe integrate messages through if this, then that, or something like that, I guess.
It's amazing what you can tie in through if this and that.
A little more kludgy though.
Yes. But I mean, you can do all kinds of stuff. And like my Wemo smart switches, you know, they're not HomeKit compatible unless you do something like, you know, set up a home bridge on a Raspberry Pi. And, right. But they are Amazon Echo compatible. And it's flexible enough that I was able to work around the first problem I had, which is that my Echo doesn't see my Wemo switches. And that's right. Because my Echo hopped on my 5 gigahertz Wi-Fi network. The Wemo switches are on the 2.4 gigahertz network. I didn't feel like doing the Echo to force it onto the 2.4 gigahertz network. So I just went and set up an if this, then that action and called it good. It was actually faster than resetting up the Echo.
Yeah.
And you can pair your iPhone to your Echo. I haven't done this yet, but I saw it in the list of things you can do. So I can stream whatever I'm playing on my iPhone through the Amazon Echo if I want. And I haven't hooked up any extra speakers to mine, so I'm not going to do that. But, you know, if you want to stream Apple Music or whatever back through your Amazon Echo, you can totally do it.
And I'm assuming Echo probably has Sonos integration too. That's the big yes. downfall of Siri and Apple, in my opinion, at this point, is I can't integrate it at all with my Sonos stuff. There, I mean, you can do it again through HomeBridge, but it's super limited.
Hmm. Yeah, and these are $49.
Yeah.
You say that like that's inexpensive.
That is inexpensive.
Well, when you compare it to the price of a full Echo, which is what, $180?
Yeah, basically $200.
Yeah, it's a substantial discount.
Hmm. Why they're selling them in six packs, so you can have them all over your house.
Yep.
Right. Yep. Yeah, and the fact that it doesn't have the better speakers, I don't care.
Here's where I fall really far down on it, and I tried doing some research on this, and I could find no information. You are putting an always-on listening device in your house that's controlled by Amazon.
That is the downside, because that means I have to put a lot of trust in Amazon to not abuse whatever it is that I'm saying.
I mean, and of course, they claim they're not doing anything. But I'll admit, it freaks me out a little bit. Both Amazon and Google, the idea of having an always-on device from either of these companies. And it was only reaffirmed. My distrust of Google today was only reaffirmed when I was setting up a new an old computer for my kid and setting up parental controls through iOS, which worked great. And we whitelist all the websites.
Mm-hmm.
And they have to use Chrome for some school stuff. And the minute I fired up Chrome, even though I had allowed all these different websites, the minute it tried to start connect to Google, it's randomly popping up with asking me to give it permissions for a bunch of sites that are just IP addresses. and they're like totally randomized IP addresses, and they're just, I mean, it's literally hundreds of them. I think it's changing the IP address, I guess, because it's probably going through, you know, like their network. But it's just like, what are you doing? And what are all of these? And it's all tracking is what it is. It's all tracking and monitoring. And there's like no way to get past it. And you can't figure out what these sites are or what they're doing. And I'm like, oh, man, this shows the difference between Apple and Google.
That, like, really sucks.
Yeah. So I kind of have a level of distrust with, I've been fascinated by the Echo, and I use Amazon Prime and all that stuff, and I think the price point's great. I don't know that I can buy into that ecosystem though.
I totally get that, and I decided I was going to get this because at $50, it's a price point where I felt comfortable experimenting, and if I decided I didn't like this, I'm sure I can find someone to sell it to.
Oh yeah.
But after I had it set up, and I'd been sitting on the couch reading some stuff, and it's been set up for 10 minutes, and I just start talking to Alexa, and Alexa starts talking back. I'm just amazing. I'm like, oh my God, I really do live in the future. Stunningly cool. I don't have to have any device in my hand to talk to the other stuff in my house. Now I want someone to figure out how to bridge my Honeywell Bluetooth controlled air purifier into the Echo so that I can tell that to turn on and off without having to pull out a device.
Yep. Again, you're not alone with your love for the Echo.
The future.
Right. The Dot, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
A lot of Mac fans. And that only points out to me the problem that Apple has right now with Amazon and the Google Home and Microsoft Cortana. I talked a little bit about this on my show too, that Siri is starting to come off. It's not that she's not capable and can't do cool stuff. It's starting to feel like Apple's getting leapfrogged a little bit by some of these other technologies. And I assume Apple's paying attention and well aware of this and has a solution for us, but they don't talk about these things. So we're just kind of in the dark until they make a move.
I think you're right. I think Apple has bigger plans for Siri. And I think that as they roll out, we're going to be really impressed and really pleased. I mean, it's obvious to me right away where I have big limitations with the Echo. It's because it can't tie into everything that I do. It can only tie in to specific devices locally. Right. And it's not great. At least I haven't figured out how to make it, I haven't figured everything out yet because I've only had this for a couple of days. But
right,
going cross device with Echo commands, that doesn't seem to be as easy as it is with Siri. Like if I went to control my Hue and my Lutron cassette lights with a single command, Siri makes that much easier than Echo.
Well, to be fair, that's probably HomeKit more than Siri, right?
Right. But, you know, when you put it all together, I mean,
right,
you have the platform so that I can use Siri in conjunction with HomeKit to control devices from multiple manufacturers. And as far as I can tell so far with the Echo, I have to do two different commands, one for the Hue lights, one for the Lutron cassettes.
Yeah, because they're separate apps and they're running in siloed code, basically. I mean, they're their own code.
Right.
They don't have the HomeKit underlying layer that integrates, that, you know, sort of allows one to talk to the other.
Right. But, you know, that's probably not a problem for a lot of people, because I have a feeling that most people that are doing the smart home thing, when they choose, like, say, their lighting system, they buy into a single manufacturer, whereas I'm testing stuff. So I just have this crazy mess of things that I'm mixing together. And it's no problem with HomeKit, not so easy with Echo.
Sorry, we totally derailed the picks.
That's fine.
A whole other topic.
I'm
still fun pick. $50 or $49. Echo Dot.
Cool. I bet I didn't even write that down. No, I did. Cool. I'm curious, because you mentioned one time that there are these, you can set like activities for HomeKit. You know, like, yep. hey, or hola Siri, it's party time or whatever.
Yeah.
Can you do a thing where she'll play an iTunes playlist? Because what I want it to do, I want it to be like, hey Siri, it's sexy time. And then I triggered Siri. And I want this to play.
My mind's telling me no.
Of course you do.
Of course I do. Who wouldn't?
And the answer is no.
Why? I want it to dim the lights, and I want it to play some R. Kelly.
Yeah, there's not like I don't think you can do that. There may be a combo of things that you might be able to do, but
okay. Let's
Siri is not well. You may be doable if you subscribe to Apple Music. The problem is that the integration of HomeKit and like local iTunes music stuff, not good. It's actually one of the complaints.
Homebridge
iTunes. Siri's handling of that stuff is terrible too.
Homebridge iTunes.
Yeah.
Is a Homebridge
They totally need to do that.
For controlling iTunes.
Homebridge iTunes.
It's a Homebridge plugin for controlling iTunes and associated AirPlay speakers with HomeKit and Siri.
Ooh, that may be your way in. But again, this just further exemplifies Apple's failure with HomeKit and Siri integration and stuff. Like, why this stuff isn't done or built in? Because, yes, Michael, I don't think you're alone in wanting to create a scene that like fires up a certain track
that
and
seems like
the lighting in your house and flips on the you know HomeKit enabled fireplace and all that stuff, right?
Yeah,
like this is things that like people, it sounds goofy and you're like, oh, are people gonna know how to do that? It's less goofy than the people who put out a Internet of Things candle.
Word. Yeah, I mean it's like one of the most perfect, easy to do technology demonstrators for HomeKit. And it's one of those things that anybody really could do. So if you have an Apple TV and you also have a Mac, it should be able to just out of the box, like that's just one of the things you can do. It's just like a little flavor of what you can do with HomeKit. And then you're like, ooh, I like that it'll play this playlist for me. Now I want to get some like Hue lights or whatever to go along with my mood jams.
Yeah. Totally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, what the hell?
Get on it, Apple.
Yeah. Let's get it together.
Seriously. Well, the fact that I can be so excited to have an Echo Dot in my place when I've been a HomeKit user from pretty much the beginning, that says a lot. Yeah. Amazon shouldn't be able to make a product that I can see clear limitations compared to HomeKit, but still be more excited to use than my HomeKit setup right now.
Yeah. It's another one of these, and I can't remember if I said this last week, Apple has all of these technologies that they like bring out, they get us excited about, they pioneer about it. You know, they pioneer like roads, they go down roads people aren't going down, tell us how amazing it's going to be. We all jump on the bandwagon and go, yeah, this is going to be awesome. And then they like leave it stagnating and it feels like they're not doing anything with it, even when they probably are. And both Siri and HomeKit are starting to fall into this realm of what the hell is going on, Apple? You said this was going to be awesome. It's now been, you know, 2-3 years and it feels like nothing's moving forward anymore. It's like we got to a point where it's kind of half working, not really great. It's okay. And it's not, we're not seeing forward momentum. So, and Apple does this a lot with a lot of their technologies, it feels like. Just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Adam, what's your pick?
My pick will be quicker because I can't tell you a whole lot about my pick. And that's actually by design. So I'm picking a game called Black Box. You guys heard about this?
Yes.
So it is free. There is some in-app purchase if you want to get more advanced levels, but you get literally dozens of levels of this game for free. And it is a little puzzle app. And basically what you're given, it kind of walks you through the concept, although it's intentionally vague, just like a black box. You're not really supposed to know what's going on. And that's the whole point, because the whole point of the game is to figure out what the puzzle is. You don't really get many instructions. So you kind of have this grid of these little rounded box. They almost look like little mini app icons with a little dot in the middle. And the idea of each puzzle is you tap on one and it will have some sort of visual cues in it as to the direction you need to move in for solving that puzzle or what you need to do to solve that puzzle. But then you're kind of left on your own. And almost all the solutions are not interacting with the actual touchscreen. I'll give you that much. So it's physical interactions that you're going to do with the device in some way, shape, or form. And the concept is once you figure out what those actions are, what you're supposed to do, it will light up the little icon. And lighting it up means turning it from being, like an outline into being solid.
And sometimes the puzzles involve more than figuring out something on your iPhone. The puzzle right. solutions will coincide with other things.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to say more because I don't want to spoil it.
Yeah. You can't give too much away with this because then you do have the ability. There are hints because these things are really complicated to figure out. And I will admit I have to use a lot of hints. Luckily, they give you two for free. Of course, there's in-app purchase for more hints if you want to go that route. Or you can get free hints by sharing the app. They'll give you kind of a custom link. And I'm mentioning this because I've been trolling for free hints. So I'm going to give you a link, Michael, for the show notes. I'll give you my like custom link. And if people, you go download via that link, then I get extra free hints.
Okay.
For this app. All
right, that's cool.
So I'll send you my custom link. And if people can use that, that would be awesome. Because then I get free hints, which I need. Because I can't figure a lot of this stuff out.
So go download Black Box, people. Adam needs the help.
Yeah, it's actually kind of really awesome how it works. It is one of the funnest games that I've played in a while. And I've been telling people it's the funnest game, and I hate it. I absolutely hate it.
Wait, so what's the what's your link, your special link?
I'm gonna send it to you. I gotta go grab it.
Okay, cool. Sounds good. All right, so my pick this week is going to be Roller Coaster Tycoon 3 for iOS.
Ooh,
It's $5. And I don't know if you guys played it, but I played the original Roller Coaster Tycoon on my Windows 98 or whatever.
Of course you did.
It was
good times.
So good. And it's just it's Roller Coaster Tycoon on your iPad or iPhone. I would recommend it for the iPad. I believe it is universal. You can just go nuts with your roller coasters, and you can actually ride the rides, which is, if you haven't played since Windows 98, that's a new feature.
Does it have Google Cardboard support when you're riding the rides?
I don't know.
That would be fun
for me.
Ooh, what is this, Air Tycoon? Don't even. I bet that's not nearly as good. No, it's not what I'm thinking. Like, build your own airplane. It's like Kerbal Space Program, but Roller Coaster Tycoon style.
No, okay, so if anyone says this is like Kerbal Space Program,
yeah,
then I'm out because I've already got Kerbal Space Program.
Yeah, you've already got Kerbal Space Program. It's not going to be better than that.
No,
that's true.
Few things in life are better than Kerbal Space Program.
You know, it's funny when you can be talking to your faculty advisor at your school and make an offhanded joke because she mentions your orbital mechanics class that you'll be taking. And you make a joke about Kerbal Space Program, and she actually laughs because she gets it. It's a good. You're at a good place in your life when that works.
Yes, you are.
Yes. So check out Roller Coaster Tycoon 3, $5. And also, my other pick is I guess, the Cubs getting to the World Series after 70 years? 70
years? Yeah, the last time they did that was before World War I.
Holy hell.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I'm not a big baseball guy, but I like it when it's interesting, and it sure was.
You can recognize the achievement.
Well, first of all, I'm from Chicago, so I'm excited that the Cubs weren't losing. And they were playing L.A., so that's fun. And they kicked ass, and I'm very happy about it. And I'm pretty sure Barry was there.
Of course he was.
I hope he was.
Of course he was. I don't even have to go and check. It's just a given.
Just in the thick of it all, I'm sure.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah, he parties. So, yeah, with that, you can find the picks and the show notes at theiosshow.com. Review the show on iTunes. Tell a friend who might like it. Always appreciate that. And feedback at theiosshow.com is the address to which you can send your questions, comments, feedback, and more. I did get some emails from people about the Verizon iPhone issue. So, you know, email back if it's not fixed, because I'm curious. What else? I also got an interesting tip about, I keep forgetting this, but if you sold your previous iPhone to get the new one and you had AppleCare on it, you can prorated get your money back. So if you had it for a year and, you know, AppleCare lasts
right.
2 years, you can more or less get like half your money back. Which is
that's really cool.
It's really cool.
Or if you want to be really cool,
give it to the person who bought it.
You can transfer it. Yeah, you can transfer it to the new owner. You have to go through Apple. They have go through Apple support, and you have to like give them the other person's Apple ID, but they will transfer it.
Yep. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media, backbeatmedia.com. Adam Christensen can be found at the Mattcast. That's at mattcast.com. He's at Mattcast on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Adam. Yep.
I gave you the link for my black box link, but if people also want to just grab, they can grab it from the latest episode of the Mattcast on mattcast.com. It's under thing of the moment in the show description. It says black box. If they just click that link, that's the link as well.
TOTM. Cool. Jeff Gamet, he's at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com, the TMO Daily Observations podcast, and at Jake Gamet on Twitter. Thanks for being here, Jeff.
It's always awesome. Every single time.
And I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. And I guess with that, we'll see you next time on the iOS show.
An internet.
How are we going to communicate this?
It's a stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Who wants a stylus? We have to get them and put them away.